not listening to the Smoke World Podcast. You're wasting your time, you mortal.
What's up, folks? Welcome to another episode of Smoke World. I'm your host, Stone. So go grab that stick. Go grab a glass or whatever you're drinking. Let's sit back and have that conversation. You can follow me on Instagram at Smoke World Podcast. The email, stone@smokeworldpodcast.com. And the website, the swag, the sweat gear, socks, iPhone cases, Android cases, smokeworldpodcast.com is the website. What's up, people? Yo, check this out. This episode, I'm live at the lounge, so you're going to hear some live at the lounge audio. That's what that's all about. I'm with my man Steve Zingale, Mike Dove. Now, Mike Dove's from Weak Fish Graphic Entertainment. It's not entertainment, but it's entertainment to me. Steve is from Los Coyotes Cigars. We sit down, we have a conversation, and Steve gets really deep. He shares his story about the cigar. He's got some great things coming up next year, so it's going to be like Los Coyotes Cigars 0.2 next year. So sit back, chill, relax, enjoy the show, okay? I'll check you out on the other side. Peace. All right, folks, what's going on? This is Stone from the Smoke World Podcast. We're here live tonight at Cigar Sessions, doing what we do best. I have my brother to the right of me, Steve, from the Lost Coyote Cigars.
What's going on, everybody?
I got Mike from Weak Fish Graphic Design to my left. Mike, what's up, man? What's up, happening?
What's going on, man?
Oh, fellas, it's a beautiful thing. Okay, so I'm going to start off with Steve. Steve, first of all, from day one when I met you, brother, you've been nothing but a cool-ass dude, man. Just want to say thank you for being who you are. Your cigars are the bomb. I appreciate what you're doing with your organization, with your cigars. So let the folks know what you got going on, exactly how this got started, and what you've been doing.
Yeah, so thank you, Stone, for this. And I think that I share that sentiment, that I also think you're my brother from another mother. You were there with me from the beginning. You had me on one of your first podcasts that didn't go so well. We made up for it later in life. And just so happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for helping me promote the brand. And what Los Coyotes is Los Coyotes is Spanish for the fallen. We give a dollar back on every cigar sold to family members of fallen first responders. We've given out over $30,000 in monetary donations, and through our donations of cigars to organizations at golf outings, casino nights, picnics, and things like that, it was another $20,000. So we've done over $50,000 in support for families of first responders. We're really happy about that. We've been doing it since 2016. So if you're about the cause, that's one thing. But if it was a really bad cigar, people would buy it once and never support it again. So we knew that. So it was really important that we had a great cigar company behind us. It's made by Aganorsa Leaf. I'm very close with Eduardo, Max, and Paul. I've been with them since 2013 when I was a retail shop owner. So we're very happy and proud of the cigar. And tonight we're coming out with a lot of new things in July. The whole company is changing as far as the products and the SKUs. I've been the same 6x54 Toro since 2016. So to have the traction we do in 200 stores, 32 states, all the biggest online retailers, it was time, and the community demanded more from us, so we're going to meet that demand, and we're going to release everything at the PCA in July of 23. Right now, tonight at Cigar Sessions, it's our kind of farewell, and a thank you to everybody for supporting us. The crowd is phenomenal here tonight. We'll probably have 80 to 100 people. Pat's been great. You introduced me to this shop. I felt it was fitting that I close things out here, so we're getting rid of the last of our inventory tonight to make way for July. And just really, really happy. So, you know, tonight we presented a check for $500 to the Volunteer Hose Company, and we're selling out a product, and it's just really, really a phenomenal event. So thank you, Stone, for everything you do. Thank you for educating the cigar community. Thank you for continuing to strive to be better every day. I see you're testing out the cameras tonight. So it's just really a special, special evening, and I'm so glad to be part of it. And thank you, my brother. I love you. One love.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Love you, too. Mike, this is the guy who does all my website design. So if you see the website, folks, this is the man behind who's doing what you see. Mike, why don't you break him down? Explain to him a little bit about what you got going on, how long you've been doing this, and how you have been enhancing the cigar community.
Well, thanks, Stone. And Steve, it's great to hang out with you. Although we're on opposite fields, coming to colleges, Steve went to a very poor university. I went to a very rich university, so very proud of that, but I still look at Steve as an equal person.
Rat bastards.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
So, Stone, thanks again for having me on. You know, I've been doing graphic design for a long time, and, you know, I really moved into the cigar market a couple years ago because I saw a need for it. You know, one of the things that I think we sell a premium product, and it should really be represented as a premium product. So I started getting in a couple brands, and now I do great lounges like Cigar Sessions. I have several across the country. I love what I do. You know, we don't just work in the cigar business. We just finished doing all the work on the Halloween Ends movie. We did all the graphic design for that.
And, nice. Congratulations on that, too.
And we just got signed to do 3 more movies over the next year and a half.
Oh, whoa. So, don't forget about me. Don't forget about the Young Bulls.
This is probably the last time I'll appear on because I'll be much bigger. So,
that's true. You're a rap bastard.
Access Hollywood will probably be the next one I'm on.
Be like that.
But no, I love what I do. I love the cigar business. I love working with great people like Pat. And Steve and yourself. I mean, and all in all, we all have the same common goal, right? To pass on something a little bit better to the cigar industry.
Absolutely. Now Steve's got an interesting story, folks. Now you kind of skipped over that, Steve. I want to share the information to the people because, you know, I always say people see the glory, but they don't know the backstory. So kind of share a little bit, you know, you're a coach, brother. You're a principal. People don't know that. A lot of folks don't know that. They say, okay, this is a guy who's just selling cigars, another boutique brand, but it's more to that. And this is what I love about the podcast because I get to share that and let folks tell their story. So if you don't mind sharing that story with the audience, brother.
Yeah, so, and before I do, it's also very great to sit down with Michael. For everybody, you know, I don't know if we get 80 to 90 people here tonight at a lounge to support the Farewell to Los Caídos without the graphics and the posters and all the designs that Michael did for us. It was really a treat to see because I never know what I'm going to get from Michael when he does those things. And then all of a sudden when they come out, it's just very well received. They look phenomenal. So, Michael, thank you so much for everything you do. Really a great service you provide to the cigar industry. As far as my backstory, I don't really, when you're not in the industry, so when I say not in the industry, I mean the education industry. So I have a doctorate degree in education. I was a longtime school teacher, administrator. My last role was as a high school vice principal for years. And, you know, I was a financial advisor. I was a Division I men's basketball coach at Hampton University for 4 years. Worked with Boo Williams. They just did a beautiful ESPN story on him. So I have a varied background. The reason why I did that is because I wanted to do everything in life that I ever thought I'd wanted to do at the highest levels, right? So I got the doctorate, served as an administrator, got the Division I job, got the job at Morgan Stanley, worked with NFL and NBA players. And by the time I was 40, 45, I just wanted to be able to finally plant a flag and say, okay, for the rest of my life, this is what I want to do. I never in the world thought it would be cigars. So I was working in Virginia. After coaching Hampton University, working with Boo Williams, I got a part-time gig. My wife knew I loved to smoke cigars, and she says, hey, by the way, there's a cigar shop in town, and I don't know, you know, if you're interested in working there, buying cigars, whatever, but I just thought it would be a place you love. So I went there, and she was 100% right. It was at Emerson's in Peninsula Town Center in Hampton. It was owned by a guy named Scott Regina. He was a guy from Jersey. We, you know, something clicked with us. I begged him for a job, and he didn't have one open for months. And then when finally he did have one, I was hired to work there part-time. What I didn't know at the time is that he was also the president of the PCA. So he was a real player in the cigar industry. I started to learn that history. I learned a ton from him. So when my wife, you know, my family, everybody's back home in Jersey, my wife was saying, hey, what are we going to do? You know, are we going back to Jersey or staying here? We don't have a lot of ties. I'd like to get back to Jersey. I said, yeah, let's go. She goes, what are you going to do? I said, I really think I want to open up a cigar shop. And she said, really? With your doctorate degree in education, Division I basketball experience, Morgan Stanley working with NBA players and NFL players, you really want to open a cigar shop? And I said, yes, because to me, in my world, that ties everything together. So she goes, let's do it. So I opened up a cigar shop in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. It was a couple hundred feet off the boardwalk. I was open for 8 months before Hurricane Sandy wiped that shit out. So I had to fall back on my doctorate and went that back to being a high school vice principal so I can establish credit to build a new shop because I just lost $120,000. I didn't have any income, so nobody was giving me any money. So once I became a vice principal, I was tied to a six-figure salary. I can apply for credit cards, and I built the next shop all on credit. That was 2013, and in that time, two police officers were brutally murdered, Christopher Matlos in Lakewood, Mark Castellano, on a state trooper on Highway 195, and it really resonated with us. People started coming in the cigar shop saying, hey, can you help us out? Just like Chris and Mark, we had other police officers pass, trying to raise money. Can you help? I said, yes, absolutely. And at the time, I think the reason a lot of people came in is because the shop was being run by a retired PD, Frank Lancelotti, who was one of my regular customers. So, of course, we helped. And as you know, when you have a golf out, when the police officers, first responder community has a golf outing, casino night, picnic, anything like that, other police officers, other firefighters from around the local area come. So they started seeing that I helped through cigars. So they started saying, hey, can you come to our event? Can you come to our outing? So it started in my county, expanded to the next county, and then throughout the state of New Jersey into southern New York City and Philadelphia. And that's when the guys from Jersey Mike's, who came in the shop every now and then, said, listen, why don't you get a set of balls, shut all this shit down and go national and give back through cigars like we do through Sub Sandwiches. So that's what I did. A couple months later, I resigned from my vice principalship. I shut the shop down, and I went national with Los Caídos release to benefit family members of fallen police officers. The first customer, ironically, was some kid came in. The boxes literally were just delivered. I had 500 ordered, and he grabbed one. I didn't know who he was. Literally opened a cardboard box on the floor of my shop, and I was like, they're not even priced yet. There's 11 in a box. How about $100? He's like, sounds great. So I sold the first box to him, and within a week I got a call from Craig Reynolds, the CEO of Cigars International, and Laura Barlow, the chief buyer, and they said, are you Steve Zangle? I said, yes. They're like, we want to meet with you. And I was like, why? You know, like, I don't have a lot here. So I was a little concerned. So I went out there, and we talked. It was me, Craig, Laura, Jeff Coker, the head of design for the magazine. And they basically said, you don't know what the hell you're doing, do you? Because nothing matched. The colors didn't match. The story card was a mess. So I said, no, I don't. So they started laughing. They said, how many of these things did you make? I said, 500. They said, we'll take 300, put them in a magazine, and you'll sell out quickly, we think, which is exactly what happened. So a few months later, we were sold out. I learned about profit margin, didn't have enough money to buy new boxes. So I took a year and a half off, came back in 2018, with the current version of Los Caídos. You know, we created a new logo, new design, and just if I could take a second further, so we've been the same exact 6x54 Toro since 2016. And I don't know of a lot of other cigar brand owners or manufacturers that could say they're in 200 stores, 32 states, and all the biggest online players in the world on only one cigar, having not made one change in 6 years. So that speaks more to the cause more to Aganorsa leaf in the cigar and the quality of the cigar than I think it does the cause. Because I said before, if it's just for the cause, you'll smoke it once and then you'll be done with it, right? But if it's a good cigar, you keep going back to it. So we're very happy with that. But the consumers did really, they're starting to demand more and say, hey, bro, when are you coming out with something new? And I've always listened to consumers because we were only serving the police officer community in that first release in 16 and in that time off. A lot of firefighters reached out to me, especially the guys from Long Branch, New Jersey local FMB 68, and said, hey, we got guys dying in the line of duty here too. Can you help us? I said, absolutely. So that's why we do the blue and the red line and we give back to both. Now, I think, Stone, what you wanted me to allude to is part of my history with Hampton University. So the logo in 2018, we created it. You know, we had a focus group in a meeting room, and on a big flat screen TV, and you blow the cigar band up, you see two white hands, and it's like, you know, that's maybe an unconscious bias, but it was two white hands. And it's, yeah, it looked great. And then all of a sudden the designer said, well, let me shrink it down to the size of a cigar band. And everybody in the room was like, what the hell is that? It looks like a pregnant dove. So we're like, all right. The designer said, hold on a second. Easiest thing to contrast white with is black. So we made one hand black, one white. It was like, oh, it's two hands. Immediately we recognized it. We said, that's the logo. So we went with that. And then we did the thin blue line and the thin red line underneath it. That was in 2018. Well, in 2020, George Floyd is murdered. So now you have this logo of a black and white hand coming together with the blue line underneath it. So I had a ton of Facebook, Instagram messages, emails, and personal conversations over a cigar at events saying, hey, bro, what are you doing here? You got a black and a white hand coming together, but you're giving money back to the police. So what is it you're trying to do? You're trying to get race together? You're trying to support the police? Like, what is going on? I said, well, the logo was done in 2018. I started with the cause of supporting police. So that wasn't my interpretation at the time. But if that's yours now, so be it. Let's run with it. So that is why, you know, and since then, everybody's been asking me to do a color for them, right? So military wants green, EMS wants yellow, dispatch wants white, or whatever the colors are. I can't go into a retailer with 10 different colors like I'm the Fruity Pebbles to say, hey, buy all these cigars. So I did a lot of thinking at the fire pit, and I've been very slowly trickling out. And mind you, along that time, we picked up national distribution through Sutliff. So as opposed to me driving out to Ben Salem in a warehouse every day, now I had a major player behind me, and it just caused me deep thought. If I had not been at Hampton, I wonder sometimes if my white privilege bias would have not caused me to go into such deep thought, right? Because people are like, yo, bro, where you been at? We haven't talked to you in a year. I was at my fire pit thinking because I was at the Emancipation Oak with my wife and children reading underneath the plaque where it said, this is where some of the original education took place. And if they were caught, they were hung, right? So my kids were 3 years old, 4 years old, asking, why, daddy? Why, mommy? Right? And I went into the museum where I saw pictures that if you're not empathetic to the African-American cause, you have no soul, based on the pictures that I was privy to seeing as a coach at Hampton. So all of that, after George Floyd was murdered, considering what I had stood for in honoring fallen police officers, I really started to have the question, what is our cigar brand? What do we stand for? Because everybody talks about, oh, cigars have the power of bringing everybody together, black, white, gay, straight, Christian, Jew, rich, poor, blah, blah, blah. Who is actually using the cigar as the vehicle to do it? And when I sat at the fire pit at my house every night alone, deeply thinking about what I could do as a brand and what we stand for, that is why we're going to shut everything down after this event tonight. And we're coming back out in July at the PCA show we're coming out with light, medium, dark, small, medium, large. We're getting rid of all the nomenclature, a true sampler pack, a pack for convenience stores and online retailers. So a lot of the company is about to change, and we are going to be, you know, there's not too many topics I'm not afraid to talk about, because if you can't have civil discourse, where are we as a society? We've got to be able to disagree and not kill each other and fight each other. I don't care what color you are, what political views you, I don't give a shit about anything. There's not a conversation I'm not willing to have, but we need to have them. That, in my opinion, is what's getting lost in society. So I want to be the brand and the cigar to bring that back.
All right, that's a good segue. I wanted to bring both of you into this conversation. We're here, for those who don't smoke cigars, you know, they may say, okay, hey, you guys are smoking, girls and guys, stinky cigars. They don't understand the passion that we have, the reason that we do this. So, Mike, I want to get your opinion. He mentioned a very good point where the culture, it brings all people from all walks of life together. Now, what has been your experience with that scenario with bringing folks together, no matter what you may believe in politically, your religion? None of that matters when we smoke these cigars. So, I mean, what has been your experience with the cigar culture.
So, agreed 100%. So, when I first got into cigars, I went to the very first ever Cigar Fest. The way I used to look at cigars growing up was, I watched a bunch of old white dudes smoke cigars, right?
Mafia movies.
Well, not even that, but like, you know, my grandfather was a big cigar smoker. He wore a suit and tie every day, right? So, I go to the first ever Cigar Fest. We're standing in line to get in, and I'm like, there's like four guys that are dressed as bikers, tattoos, you know, there's white people, black people, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm not used to this.
Everybody smokes cigars. And I think the great thing about cigars, and I'll give you a perfect example. Last year on vacation, sitting in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, sitting out by the fire pit, the sun's down, it's beautiful. Sitting out there, and there's a couple guys sitting over next to us that are not smoking cigars, doesn't say a word to me.
Right.
A couple dudes come out, they pull out their little traveling humidors. We had a conversation. We stayed out there to 2:30 in the morning.
Nice.
And you know, and I said to the guys, I said, you know, the funny part is those guys were sitting next to me for almost an hour and a half, never said hardly anything. As soon as you guys came out and you had those cigars, that was the common bond right there. Didn't matter what you did for a living, right, who you are, what you believe in. It doesn't matter. Like right now, you look at this lounge.
Shit. Everybody's in here.
We have everything represented here. Right?
Everybody's here.
Having a good time. And that's what it's about. I often said, if everybody smoked cigars, I think we'd have less problems.
I agree with that 1,000%, yep. Brother. 1,000%.
I mean, even I put my differences aside with Steve, and look, I'm still having a good time with him.
Steve, you gotta let him talk smack like that, man. Come on, man.
I'm soon to be over the Delaware thing, but I understand. I have to give him his time.
Stone, he should be real quiet. His basketball team only won by 10 against Del State. Come on. Come on, bro.
Come on, man. Come on, man. You know, Steve, I want to ask this question because, not to say that you made it seem so easy, the smaller, again, boutique brands, which is nothing but a fancy name for small cigar companies. You have had a lot of success. And if someone's listening right now who's saying, you know what, I'm thinking I want to start a cigar brand, what information, what knowledge, what tips can you give them? Because your path has been a lot different from a lot of the cigar smaller brands that I've seen.
Can I jump in here real quick?
First thing you
do is you call Wheatfish. So that's the first thing you
do. He's right about that. There's some truth to that.
Yeah, there is. Because you know what? I'm going to say this. This is what I noticed about the smaller cigar brands. The larger brands are like the Home Depots, the Lowe's. They don't need a lot of marketing. Don't get me wrong, they do marketing, but it could be a cigar smoker who never smoked a cigar come into a shop and say, hey, you guys got Prodermo, Rocky Patel, because they heard of something. So they're not familiar with the smaller brands, the smaller companies that do what you guys do. So what would you tell an individual that may be looking to get started with starting their own brand? Would you tell them it's a good idea? Or maybe, you know what, the cigar culture is so inundated with cigars, maybe that's not a good thing for you to do. Maybe you should go sell sneakers. What would you tell somebody?
The first thing I would tell somebody is do what you want to do. But if you're going to do it, you got to do it well. And you have to be prepared to grind. Everybody likes the idea of being in the cigar industry. They see me in Delaware here tonight. They see that I have my own brand. They see people buying cigars, flying out the door. We've sold quite a bit tonight. And they look at that as success. They don't see the 6 years behind it. They don't see the balance of family and how I've only missed 5 of my kids' high school sporting events at the sacrifice of the company. And they don't see that I've missed some of the big occasions of the family for the benefit of the company. So the one thing that I would say irks me the most, and I always try to be a positive person. I always want to help people. But remember, I have a doctorate in education, and I don't say that with hubris. I say that because if you're going to come at me with questions.
Do you have a what? Say it again. You have a who?
Nothing. So I have a doctorate in education. Wise
selling
guy.
Cigars, okay. Oh,
so selling cigars, yeah, that's the other thing. I was like, oh, why do you have a doctor and you're selling cigars? Like, I owe them an explanation. But anyway, it makes me happy and I'm doing better for the world. So, but when you anybody out there thinking about owning a cigar brand or wanting to get in, every day I'm asked, oh, I'm thinking about doing my own cigar. They think it's so easy, which is fine. I did it, so I might have had that same assumption. When you ask people in this industry questions, come with the right questions. Be prepared to ask the right questions I don't like taking my time and answering questions you could simply look up on Google. Like, do some of the goddamn work yourself. And that's what bothers me, because after all the work I've done to get where I am,
Google.
I don't want to answer questions people could look up on their own.
Google. Okay, Steve. All fairness, brother. You're telling people, instead of talking to you or someone who's in the business, to go and Google.
No, I'm saying ask me important questions. Don't ask me, you know, who's a big manufacturer I can go to in a DR, Honduras, or Nicaragua. I want to say...
Wait a minute. I got to push back on that a little bit, Steve. Yep. Because I think it's called the connect. It ain't no different from the yayo, the drug game. You need the connect. And Google's not going to give you that connect.
No, the connect is a lot. And listen, I didn't get here alone. It takes a village, right? So without the support of some of the top retailers in the country taking a chance on me, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I didn't do this myself. The questions I'm saying are, if people are getting into a retail cigar shop, say, right? Do you know what all of your expenses are? Do you know the ratio of the humidor to the total store frontage? And if you're interested in building a lounge, do you know how many turns of a cigar you need that day for the 30 days of the month in order to pay rent? Right? Do you know what a profit...
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say...
Correct.
Right. I'm going to say they have no idea.
Correct.
Not a clue.
And do they know how to develop a profit loss statement? Do they know what one is? And if a lot of guys and gals want to open up a cigar shop because they think it's going to be great, I'm going to sell a couple cigars, smoke all day with my friends, and make a little money at it. And to those people who get into under that premise, you're in for a really rude awakening. So if they come to me and say, hey, how can you help? I would like to discuss the bigger level stuff, not the smaller things that they could find out. Like, you know about blends. How many people are putting out? You're one of the guys. How much great information have you put out there on cigars already as far as blends, profiles, flavors, tasting notes, anything else, right? That's all out there. So I don't want someone to come to me and say, hey, what do you think the impact of a couple leaves of Corojo 99 are going to do on my cigar? You should know that already. You're not ready to get into it if that's a question you're going to ask. But if you're saying to me, hey, I'm thinking about opening up a shop and I'm really torn between less seats or more seats, because I think that if I have a big lounge like here at Cigar Sessions, I'll be able to get more people. Well, if you're not turning those seats and you're paying that square footage and rent, you better have a plan. So that's why a lot of people are going to smaller footprints, because the money's in the humidor and it's a grab-and-go environment. It's more profitable for people to grab and go. Hence, that's why online people are profitable. They don't have as much overhead. So those are the questions, those are the discussions I like to have, not the simple stuff you could get online that so many other people have worked so hard to put great information out there. Use it, right? Be a student of the industry. Really show that you want to learn. Take those initial steps. And then on the big questions that you really don't have an answer on, like, you know, if you're ever thinking about selling, what are the multiples on EBITDA? If I said to a shop owner, what's a multiple on EBITDA, and they don't know, that tells me they're not really a business owner. You know, so it's just stuff like that. I prefer to answer the big questions when people want to get into
Steve,
it and have the conversation.
I went to public school, Steve, so.
Oh, would you knock it off?
I don't know. I don't know what you just said there. So what's that word again? The multiple on what? So I'm not going to.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Whoa,
what would you? What would you like me, or what would you? What do you want people to expect from boutique owners as far as the help that you expect them to give others? Let me ask that question.
Okay, I'm not going to say I'm a
segue. And
segue.
Mike, that's for you too.
Okay, here's the segue. Here's my opinion. Because I named those large cigar companies that's out there. So you have those companies. Now, Mike, myself, content creators, it's called marketing. If you're not marketing, you may have a great product, but if nobody knows, you're going nowhere. So if you're not marketing your product, it's not going to be sold.
Correct.
You know, a lot of times these cigar guys and girls who get into this industry, they may have a great product, but the only people who know is in that demographic. They don't go no further than that. They don't grow. And at the end of the day, that's just a good segue for Mike, because what Mike does is graphic design, marketing. Any corporation, their biggest budget is in marketing. Because at the end of the day, if they don't know about your product, they're not going to be able to get it. They won't have access to it. So, Mike, I'm going to segue to you to kind of help explain to these small cigar companies how important marketing is in this industry.
So, you're right, marketing, but I'll take it a step farther. It's the right marketing, too.
Elaborate, please.
So, you know, you have to know, you've got to know your audience, right? Like, as a boutique cigar owner, you know, you're not gonna go against somebody like a Perdomo, right? Like, I mean, Nick still does a shit ton of marketing.
Absolutely.
But it's the right market, and it all depends on your business. You got to deliver the right message. Like here at Sessions, you follow the page. You know, when we promote cigars, everything is a true graphic design. It's not just a snap photo that we put up and, you know, oh, come buy this, the price point. If you look at how we do our marketing, we never mention the price at all.
No, you're correct.
Right? Because we're here to tell the story. And you tell the story like Steve has a tremendous story to tell. So, you know, he's got a great story. He does a great job telling about his career, his path to how he's got here, what his cigar represents. So it's all about you got to know your audience, and that's where a real marketing, professional marketing comes in. We find that audience. You remember, in the tobacco industry, we can't run Facebook ads, right? We can't run Google ads.
That's correct.
So, you know, when I see, we did a design for a lounge up in PA, and they were blown away. It reached 22,000 people organically for Cigar Lounge.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's just delivering the, you got to find your message. There's nothing written in black and white to tell you that. You got to know your market. Steve has done a great job knowing his market. But it's all about telling your story. That's really what it boils down to. And just don't give the sales pitch. Nobody wants to hear the sales pitch. You know, I accrue, like, buying a car now, people walk into a car dealership, they know more about the car than the salesman does, right? You look at these cigar aficionados and these cigar smokers, that they know just as much about Los Gallegos as Steve does, right? So you don't need to give them the sales pitch. You just got to give them that warm, fuzzy feeling pitch.
So now let me ask this question too. So I believe it's important to have a good product.
Oh, sure.
So if your cigar is trash, it's trash. Let me correct that, because there's plenty of trash cigars that make money, and I think that's based on the marketing, that the fact they were able to market and sell you a product based on visuals, or you keep seeing it. I come from the music business, and the song may not be that great, so we would pay a DJ, pay the manager, the production manager at this radio station to play these songs. If you listen to it long enough, you start to like it. So, I think, truly, I can't read that. Okay, you got to call Raph. No problem. So, I truly believe that at the end of the day, it's important to have a good product, number one. But number two, really being able to market that particular product. That's just my opinion. And I'm going to ask you, because Steve, you've been doing this for a while, and you've been successful. So, do you think, am I talking trash, or is there some truth to what I'm saying?
So, as I was saying before about wanting to learn about the industry and how people work, I seek advice from others outside the industry, and I'm in some focus groups and whatnot. So, this was a great parallel that I learned. If you go to a restaurant, all right, Stone, and you have the most amazing meal of your life, but you had to wait in line for 30 minutes, and maybe the service was a little poor, versus having the best service with no wait and the worst meal you ever had, which of those two options are you going to pick?
I'm a food connoisseur, sir. So if the food is good...
No, I didn't say the food was good. I said the food was off the chart, best you ever had. You had to wait a little bit, and the service
people,
was a little off.
For the black people, the food is good. That's how we said it. Just so you know. That the food is
4 years at Hampton, I had my share of that, baby.
So, if the food, you like my wife, she says things are delicious. I don't use that.
Yep.
And it may be good. I'm like, man, this is really good.
Yep.
But my wife is an advocate of using the word delicious.
Yep.
Oh, my God, this is delicious.
Yep.
I don't use those terms.
Yep.
So, if the food is good, they're going to wait. They're going to come back.
And they might deal with bad service once in a while.
Absolutely.
But if the food is horrible and you didn't have to wait and had the best service of your life, would you go back?
For me?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you're at a restaurant.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm here for the food.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why our cigar had to be awesome. Because in terms of service and waiting in line, for us, that was the cause. Okay, great. You give a dollar back. You're helping the first responder community. But if you had a really, really bad cigar, people aren't coming back.
But
if you have a great cigar and you make some mistakes, which I have made more than my share, which I'm willing to share with anybody who enters the boutique business, the cigar business, I will absolutely share with them all of the mistakes I made, more so than the successes. Because the successes I have made are similar to the successes others have made. So those are similar stories. The mistakes I have made, I don't know if they're so common. So that's where I would want to help others. I would want them to prevent making the same mistakes. If I've already run through the brick wall and bloodied my nose, I would want you to prevent from doing the same. Right? So that's where I think I could be a value and a service to others entering the industry. And that's where I would love to help them, is to kind of protect their blind spots. Right? But no matter what, to answer the question you raised to start this whole conversation, without a doubt, number one, you have to have a great quality product, because then people will forgive the rest. But if you don't have a great quality product, they will not. I don't think they'll be so forgiving.
All right. Now, here's the challenging point to me, in my opinion, because now everybody's palate is different.
Correct.
So now you grab the cigar and say, okay, you know what? I think this is an amazing cigar. So how do you overcome that challenge? Because again, you love it. That doesn't mean the masses of people love it. So what's the trick to that? Getting that cigar, do you now trial and error, pass it out to your friends, strangers? Hey, try this cigar. Give me your feedback. Let me know what you think of this cigar.
I think a lot of that goes into, and this is why marketing is so important. You need to know your demographic and you need to know your market, right? So tonight, here at Sessions, even an hour and a half ago, there's a gentleman that went up and bought two Drew Estate products, right, and a Tatiana. So I automatically knew he loves his flavors. There's nothing I could provide for him that he was going to enjoy. We talked about it. I was like, hey, if you want to learn about this cigar, I could tell you, but it's not flavored. He's like, hey, I'm not that interested. So you're not going to be able to be all things to everybody unless you literally make a product. So I'm a Nicaraguan pure with Aganorsa, right? If I had done a flavor, fine. You're still going to have the people that say, oh, I prefer Dominican or I prefer Honduran. You're not going to be able to please everybody. So know who your market is and go after them, because if you have your market, it's a little like fishing, in my opinion, right? If you go out into the ocean and drop a line in, good luck. But if you have 50 fish in a little Home Depot 5-gallon barrel and you drop a line, you're going to get one. So I think as you more narrowly market your efforts or target your efforts in marketing to that specific group of people you're going after, the people that love a 6x54 Toro, Nicaraguan medium body, that's my jam. I'll go after those people all day long, and that's who I'm for, right? I'm not for... full-bodied Maduro smoker, I'm never going to reach them right now on what I'm at. That's part of the reason why I'm coming out with small, medium, large, light, medium, dark, to appeal to more people, but I'm never going to get the flavored people, ever.
No, that's a different market. Agree, 1,000%. That's a totally different market. So let's now talk about what you got coming out, if we can.
Mm-hmm.
Are we able to talk about what you got coming out?
Let me say this. You know, you're more than just a relationship in the cigar industry. You're a friend.
Absolutely.
So you know, I appreciate you asking the question, because you know as much happening as this company is my wife, my two children, and my best friend. And we've talked about this in private conversations, right, offline and on the phone. So what we can talk about is what I just said. We are coming out We're going to probably tease it at the TPE in February.
Okay.
And we're doing a full release because of my loyalty to the PCA and people like Abe, Blues, Keith Rumbo, Scott Regina, Greg Zimmerman. Just go right down the list. I'm a PCA guy through and through. You know, we'll do a full release, but we're going to do a small, medium. But we're taking out all the nomenclature, Robusto, Grand Toro, and all that bullshit.
Okay.
We're light, medium, dark, small, medium, large, just like people order at Starbucks with the sampler pack. And it's going to be a true sampler pack. Each of our blends in a 4x46, so it's going to be a very, very small packaged item, and it's only those three cigars. Because one thing I can't stand, or one thing I don't appreciate, I shouldn't say it with such venom, is I don't like buying a sampler pack with three Toros in it. Because if I don't like a Toro, I just wasted half a goddamn good cigar, and it was a lot of $12 to $15. So that's why we're trying to make it easier for the consumer to decide which of our products they like by doing a smaller 446 and mild, medium, full blends.
Okay, if I can backtrack a little bit then.
Yeah.
So what was your recipe? How did you do when you came out with this Los Collados cigar? What was your avenue? Did you give it to your buddies? Who was the testers of the cigar to say, hey, Steve, this is a good cigar?
So I had been selling Casa Fernandez cigars in my shop since 2013. I loved them. And I also knew that they were a grower of leaf, not just a cigar manufacturer. They were vertically integrated. So I also knew that they were making some great cigars for guys like Dion Giolito from Luzione, who has probably one of the best palettes out there. Nick Melillo, Foundation Cigars. And if you don't know about Drew Estate and those guys, I think I have this correct. I don't think I'm too wrong. There are a few cats that blended one of the most beloved cigars out there, Liga Privada number 9, right? So when they blended the Liga, it was, I think, Steve Sock and Nick Melillo, Jonathan Drew. So when they left Drew and they got acquired by Swisher, I think there was a non-compete clause. Again, I'm speaking a little ignorantly. No one has talked to me about this personally. It's just from what I've gathered from reading articles and being in the industry, learning. So those guys basically left, had a non-compete. But Drew Estate, at the time they were working there, was the second largest purchaser of Aganorsa leaf. So, you know, I would often talk to Paul Palmer and say, one of your best advertisements would be, you've smoked our leaf, you just didn't know it. But they couldn't really say that because they were selling to these guys, so they were their clients. So they could never take an ad out like that, but it would have been the best ad ever because Aganorsa leaf is in way more cigars than people know or think, right? So when Nick's and Steve and those guys left, Nick Melillo went right to, I think, Aganorsa and had his first Foundation cigars blended there, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken. So I want to add that caveat. So when I saw, I always knew that when I was going to have a cigar made, I wanted it to be Aganorsa. So I've often told this story. I started calling him in February when I found out, you know, 13, 14, I wanted, my first cigar was with Raleigh Massimino, the Villanova basketball coach. We only did 500 boxes to raise money for pediatric cancer for Brian Harrington, a walk-on on his 85 basketball team. So that was kind of like a quiet project. But for me, I knew I wanted Aganorsa to do it because I loved their leaf. I thought they were putting out great product. And it was way before Terrence got on board and what the Aganorsa, you know, the bandwagon has since produced. So I called Paul in February foreseeing I wanted to do it. And I said, would you make a cigar? He said, no, you're too small. You're still a retailer. Nobody knows you. I said, okay. So then I called them in February, March, April, May, the 15th of every month at 10 a.m. So around August, he said, is this ever going to stop? And I said, no. And the next thing you should know is I'm 6'6", 275 pounds, ride a Harley. I get pissed off easy at a lot of things. So the next time you have to say no is going to be to me in person in Miami next September. And there was silence. So I start laughing like you just started laughing.
Absolutely.
So I started laughing. I go, Paul, I'm just kidding. He goes, huh, I knew you were. I said, bullshit. You didn't know. So lo and behold, he's on a sales call in Jersey next month. He comes walking in with Bo Morris and Max, Eduardo, the founder of Aganorsa Leaf. His son was getting into the industry. So Max, Paul, and Bill come into the place, and I was floored. Couldn't believe it. I felt like God revisited again, right? The second coming was here. Like, I couldn't. So I just basically took all the Casa Fernandez product in my store, put it on the middle table with a sign, anything for free today. And Paul goes, where are you going? I said, dude, it's a party. I'm going to get cake. I'm going to get beer. I'm going to get whatever the hell. He goes, well, who's going to work the register? I said, that's why everything's for free. No register. So I texted all my regulars. I was like, listen, Party, Agonorus is here. They all knew that I've been working on this for months.
Right.
I said, Agonorus is here in the house now. Party immediately. I'm leaving. I'll be back. If anybody wants to come, free cigars all day. I get back an hour later, coffee, beer, wine, cupcakes, sandwiches. I had it all. So then the place is packed by the time I get back. So they sat there. They got there like 10 in the morning. They're ready. They're still there. It's like 4, 4:30 in the afternoon. They had to go. So I was like, Paul, before you leave, I just got to sit down and talk to you. He goes, sure. So we go in the corner. I said, Paul, what do I have to do to get you to make my cigar? This is ridiculous. He goes, you just did it. And I said, what? And he goes, you just did it. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you are the crazy uncle at our Thanksgiving table, man. So I said, we're doing it? He said, we're doing it. So since then, I've had a beautiful relationship with Agonorsa. I'll be loyal to them to the end. They are like family to me. Paul's been a huge mentor to me in my life in the cigar industry, and that's how it all started. So when the blending happened, they had a gentleman, God rest his soul, Arsenio Ramos, there, and these guys have been smoking and rolling since they were 13 years old in Cuba. What the fuck am I going to tell them that they don't already know? So I told them, I was like, listen, I'm not going to pretend to even start blending this cigar, but here's the environment in which I want it smoked. We're going to remember loved ones lost. We're going to have mom, dad, aunt, uncle, brother, and sister in the house who may have never smoked a cigar before in their life, kind of like a wedding, birth of a new baby, golf outing. I said, I need it to be mild enough for them so it doesn't knock them on their ass, but strong enough for the everyday cigar smoker, because I know I want some traction, some retail stores, online retailers, etc. So they sent over, when you blend, taste a cigar, it's usually in pairs, one to test and then one to verify, follow it up with. So they sent 22 pairs, 44 cigars to Miami. I flew down there, started smoking them with Paul, and when I got to about the 13th or 14th one, it was what we're smoking right now.
Nice, nice, bro. Listen, like I said, you got a hell of a story, brother. And not everybody's story is going to be the same.
Yep.
And if I can, I'm going to segue, because I know, I appreciate you taking your time out. You're doing the event. I appreciate you sitting down with me, having this conversation. So we're here, like I said. So what we're doing here, folks, my man is doing, so I'm going to let you go. Real quick, just let the people know, because I know you're an intricate part. You're into the PCA. Let the folks know what PCA does. A lot of people sleep on the PCA. If it wasn't for the PCA, we wouldn't probably be doing what we'd like to do right now.
Yep.
So just real quick, 2 seconds. I know you got to go do your drawing.
Mike Dove. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about the PCA and what they do, and I think a great testament to that, what they do, I really want Mike Dove to come back on here. So if y'all just heard me, I yelled him his name out. I want him to come back on here because it's an important story everybody should know. Just thanks, everybody, on the Smoke World podcast for taking a second. This is a pause in the commercial break to announce station identification. We're live here at Cigar Sessions with Smoke World! Thank you for that, everybody.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
So, Mike Dove, Stone asked me about the PCA and what they do, and I think there's a great testament here tonight with me and you, because what the PCA does is they are advocates for the cigar industry. They are the lobbying arm to make sure that we continue to have our rights to smoke premium handmade cigars. Scott, Ryan, Josh, Aaron, they're all getting it done down there, and it's a phenomenal. I will always support the PCA, but a perfect example of that is here in Delaware, when they were trying to push through SB 151 to lower the tax from 30 to 15%, Pat, the owner here of the retail store Cigar Sessions, got in touch with the PCA and said, hey, we want to support this. We need this to go through. Pat reached out to me as a cigar manufacturer, said, would you be willing to testify before the House? I said, yes. Mike Dove, a consumer, was asked to testify before the House. And there was a gentleman, I can't remember his name, Mike, a House of Representatives member, after the testimony we gave, myself, you, and a few others included, Josh Shabersky and some others, said, originally I was going to side against this, but having heard the testimony from the PCA and the representatives, we are going to push forward, and SBA 151 passed, and now the tax is going to be lowered to 15% in the state of Delaware. And in one simple example, that's what the PCA does.
So, right, the PCA allows any cigar smoker to enjoy their cigar in every state across this nation. They on a daily basis, it's not monthly, it's daily, actually hourly, they're fighting for your rights to consume cigars. You know, look, cigar industry, you know, when a lot of people look at it, it's a very small industry, right? I mean, it really is. And the PCA every day is out there fighting for your rights, essentially, to be able to smoke cigars. So I would tell you, if you have the opportunity, support the PCA.
100%. And Stone, I want to thank you for this opportunity. For the people listening, you're supporting a great man. This is a great podcast. He's my brother from another mother. I love him. And I just have to go because we're conducting a raffle here for our event. There are more cigars I have to sell, things I have to sign. So thank you for this time. It was a pleasure to meet you all virtually. We're at Los Caídos Cigars on Instagram, Facebook. My name's Steve Zangle, 908-278-1114. You have any questions, call me. I'll be happy to answer them. Didn't mean to sound too harsh before. When you come, come heavy. Come with good, intelligent questions after you spend a couple hours on Google. Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate you, brother. Mike, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate it. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of Smoke World in the books. Again, you can follow me on Instagram. That's IG for the old folks. Smoke World Podcast. The email, stone@smokeworldpodcast.com. And the website, again, it's cold outside, folks. Go grab your sweatshirts, your hoodies, whatever you need. It's on the website. Yo, listen, I couldn't do none of this without you guys. I appreciate you listening to me. Steve, Mike, Cigar Sessions, showing love. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. So, listen, folks, you know how I like to do it. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, tell your cousin, uncles. You know how we do what we do. Take care. We will see you on the other side. All right? Peace.